Welcome to tonight's Zoomcast on Christ's End Time Prophecy Unlocked, 3 Nephi 16. And in 3 Nephi 16, Christ teaches about the restoration of the gospel under Joseph Smith, a falling away, the restoration of the gospel again with the bringing in of the fullness of the Gentiles, a second restoration before the second coming of Jesus Christ, and the gathering of Israel. And I hope that we'll be able to completely cover the topic in one Zoomcast, but it may require two. And so we'll start in 3 Nephi 16, verse 4. And I command you that ye shall write these sayings after I am gone, that if it so be that my people at Jerusalem, who have seen me and been with me in my ministry, do not ask the Father in my name, that they may receive a knowledge of you by the Holy Ghost, and also of the other tribes whom they know not of, that these sayings which ye shall write shall be kept and shall be manifested unto the Gentiles. Now, starting in 1 Nephi 13 and 14, we have the introduction of the term Gentiles applying to the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And in Nephi's vision, once the gospel has been restored, the term Gentiles refers almost exclusively to the group of people, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But also, occasionally, the broader term is used for a Gentile nation, referring to scattered Ephraim in North America. But in this verse, it's referring to the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The Book of Mormon was translated by Joseph Smith, and it went forth to the members of the church. And in actuality, all the members of the restoration branches. That through the fullness of the Gentiles, okay, the fullness of the Gentiles refers not to Joseph Smith's first ministry, but as we will unpack through Scripture, to his second ministry. The remnant of their seed who shall be scattered forth upon the face of the earth, the remnant of the seed of Lehi and the house of Israel, because of their unbelief, may be brought in or may be brought to a knowledge of me, their Redeemer. Okay, and again, this taking of the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ didn't occur during Joseph Smith's first ministry. It occurs during his second. Not only the taking to them of the fullness of the gospel, but to gathering Israel again for one last time in preparation for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, and then will I gather them in from the four quarters of the earth. And then will I fulfill the covenant which the Father hath made unto all the people of the house of Israel. So again, when the fullness of the time of the Gentiles comes in, and it's actually at the conclusion of the time of the Gentiles, that is when the gathering of the house of Israel commences by the Gentiles, or by those members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who receives the fullness when the end-time servant Joseph Smith returns. Verse 6, and blessed are the Gentiles because of their belief in me, in and of the Holy Ghost, which witnesses unto them of me and of the Father. Now, this is speaking specifically about that group of Gentiles or members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who, when the fullness is brought back, the heavens are opened, and the doctrine of Christ is again declared by the power and authority of the Holy Ghost, that they might receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's those who receive this doctrine with gladness and enter into the new covenant of a broken heart and contrite spirit, that they might receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. They are those who Christ is talking about. And that's why he says, blessed are the Gentiles, or blessed are those members of the LDS Church, because of their belief in me, which belief comes through the preaching of the doctrine of Christ, in and of the Holy Ghost, the teaching and reception of the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that those who teach the doctrine of Christ are teaching by the power and authority of the Holy Ghost, which witnesses unto them of me and of the Father. Behold, because of their belief in me, thus saith the Father, and because of the unbelief of you, O house of Israel, in the latter days shall the truth come unto the Gentiles, that the fullness of these things shall be made known unto them. Now in verse 7, we have reference to both Joseph Smith's first and second ministries. That the foundation of the restoration of the gospel, as outlined in D&C 101 in the parable of redemption of Zion, commences. And as we're going to find out in 3 Nephi 16, verse 10, the beginning of the gathering of Israel commences during Joseph Smith's first ministry, but it gets cut short and resumes and is what is called a marvelous work and a wonder as it resumes during Joseph Smith's second ministry. Behold, because of their belief in me, saith the Father, and because of the unbelief of you, O house of Israel, in the latter day shall the truth come unto the Gentiles, that the fullness of these things shall be made known unto them. But woe, saith the Father, unto the unbelieving of the Gentiles. For notwithstanding, they have come forth upon the face of this land, and have scattered my people who are of the house of Israel, and my people who are of the house of Israel have been cast out from among them and have been trodden under the feet by them. Now we have the expansion of the term Gentiles to the Gentile nation. And if we cross-reference 1 Nephi 13, verses 32 through 36. Neither will the Lord God suffer that the Gentiles shall forever remain in that awful state of blindness, which thou beholdest they are in because of the plain and most precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by that abominable church whose formation thou hast seen. This is the great and abominable church of the devil. And the plain and precious parts of the gospel are both those parts of the Old Testament, or the doctrine of Christ, which was removed by the Deuteronomists, and from the New Testament, mainly by the Catholic Church, also removing the doctrine of Christ from the New Testament. And so Nephi starts out defining the term Gentiles as scattered Ephraim among Europe. Then when Columbus comes and discovers America, Gentiles is used to refer to the inhabitants of North America, and thus we have the establishment for the definition of a Gentile nation. And then when the gospel is restored through Joseph, the term Gentiles, when it's talking about a people, talks about the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, while the Gentile nation remains scattered Ephraim in North America. And so the stumbling block of Ephraim in North America is that the doctrine of Christ has been removed from both the Old and New Testaments. Wherefore saith the Lamb of God, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles, unto the visiting of the remnant of the house of Israel in great judgment. And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, saith the Lamb of God, after I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, and this remnant of whom I speak is the seed of thy father, wherefore, after I had visited them in judgment and smitten them by the hand of the Gentiles, the Gentile nation, and after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. All right, the day that he's talking about is the day of the restoration in Joseph Smith's first ministry. And the reason that he says, I shall bring forth much of my gospel, is that Joseph Smith only had the opportunity to lay the foundation of Zion. But because we rejected the fullness, the full restoration was cut short. And even Russell M. Nelson says that the restoration is ongoing and continuing. And that is an absolutely true statement because it got cut short during the days of Joseph Smith. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them. So the writings of prophets in the Book of Mormon, which shall be plain and precious, and after thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. Well, they're plain and precious because the plain and precious parts of the Old and New Testament have been removed from them. And so with the Book of Mormon, we have the restoration of those plain and precious parts, which is the doctrine of Christ. The understanding that we take upon ourselves the name of Jesus Christ by offering up unto him a broken heart and contrite spirit. When we do, he pleads our case before Father. And once he receives permission from Father to adopt us as sons or daughters, then is the ordinance of baptism, of fire baptism of the Holy Ghost, authorized to be performed. And when it's performed, then we become sons and daughters of Christ. Then we have access to that level of revelation in the heavens, whereby we might part the veil and enter into the rest of the Lord, which rest is the fullness of his glory, and be taught directly by him, as outlined in 2 Nephi chapter 32. And in them shall be written my gospel, and Christ's gospel is the doctrine of Christ, saith the Lamb, and my rock and my salvation. All right, back to 3 Nephi 16, verse 8. But woe saith the Father unto the unbelieving of the Gentiles. For notwithstanding they have come forth upon the face of this land and have scattered my people who are the house of Israel. And my people who are of the house of Israel have been cast out from among them and have been trodden under the feet by them. You know, again, talking about the Gentile nation. And because of the mercies of the Father unto the Gentiles, and also the judgments of the Father upon my people who are of the house of Israel. Verily, verily, I say unto you that after all this, and I have caused my people who are of the house of Israel to be smitten and to be afflicted and to be slain and to be cast out from among them and to become hated by them and to become a hiss and a byword among them. Again, Christ is talking to the Nephites about that remnant of Israel who is among the seed of Lehi. And verse 10, and thus commandeth the Father that I should say unto you. So on the scale of authoritative statements, does it get any more authoritative than Jesus Christ declaring that Father commanded him to utter, and that whatever comes next is as high as it gets on the authoritative scale. And that's exactly what we have just read, that Jesus Christ is declaring that the Father has commanded him to declare the following. At that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, well, I ask you, when is it that the fullness of the gospel has been restored to a people in the last days? Well, there's only one candidate, and that is through Joseph Smith in his first ministry. And so the people named the Gentiles that Christ is prophesying to the Nephites about are the members of the church in the days of Joseph Smith. And the original restoration, the name of the church was called the Church of Christ. And we had that from 1829 to 1834. And, you know, that was the terrestrial order of the gospel, the fullness of the gospel. There are no other candidates. So Christ is talking about a very specific period in church history. That specific period when the fullness or the terrestrial order of the gospel was upon the earth. And shall reject the fullness of my gospel, and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations, and above all the people of the whole earth, and shall be filled with all manner of lyings, and of deceits, and of mischiefs, and all manner of hypocrisy, and murders, and priestcrafts, and whoredoms, and of secret abominations. Well, if the majority of the Latter-day Saints under Joseph Smith were engaged literally in these sins, no wonder they rejected the fullness of Christ's gospel. And like the children of Israel before them, because they rejected the fullness, they had the fullness taken from them and were demoted to the preparatory gospel. And if they shall do all those things and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, behold, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. Well, that's exactly what happened in 1834, when Christ took his name out of the church, and the official name of the church went from the Church of Christ to the Church of the Latter-day Saints. And in 1835, when Oliver Cowdery and David Whitmer called the 12 men as apostles to this new order of the gospel, the preparatory gospel, they were sent on missions to Europe. And they took with them the scriptures of the restoration up to that point. And it contained, they contained the fullness of the gospel or the doctrine of Christ. And so the fullness of the gospel started to be taken to the house of Israel in 1835, when the Gentiles were demoted to the preparatory gospel. And as part of this preparatory gospel, the elders and the 12 apostles were sent to missions in Europe. Verse 11, and then will I remember my covenant which I have made unto my people, O house of Israel, and I will bring my gospel unto them. Now, let's go to 1 Nephi. Chapter 14. And verses 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass that if the Gentiles shall hearken unto the Lamb of God in that day. Now, we're talking about after the Gentiles have rejected the fullness under Joseph Smith, that there would come again a day when the fullness would be restored to them, or Joseph Smith would return. And it shall come to pass that if the Gentiles will hearken unto the Lamb of God in that day, and what does that mean? It means hearkening unto the doctrine of Christ by Joseph and those who engage in that work with him of declaring the doctrine of Christ again, and that the heavens have again been opened, and that by entering into the new covenant, the members of the church might again receive the baptism of fire and baptism of the Holy Ghost. In that day, that he shall manifest unto them in word and also in power, and in very deed, unto the taking away of their stumbling blocks. Well, the introduction of the stumbling block to the Latter-day Saints was the removal of the doctrine of Christ from the mainstream teaching of the church. That by offering up a broken heart and contrite spirit, we might receive the baptism of fire, baptism, Holy Ghost. But in reality, had the church retained this teaching, they would have had to have taught that the saints were to prepare themselves for a future day when Joseph Smith would return, open again the heavens, and by offering up a broken heart and contrite spirit, they might receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. For offering up a broken heart and contrite spirit requires revelation. And to fully enter into this covenant and offer up the sacrifice, it requires that the heavens be opened. For one cannot receive by revelation the full terms of a broken heart and contrite spirit when it's not possible to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this was the case around the time, shortly before the time of the death of Joseph Smith. And we would remain in that state until his return. But Nephi is here prophesying that the time would come when the heavens would again be open to the members of the church, and we would again receive the doctrine of Christ by the to enter into the new covenant and receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Verse 2, and harden not their hearts against the Lamb of God. They shall be numbered among the seed of thy father. So, among those members of the church who, instead of remaining hardened in their hearts, would offer up a broken heart and contrite spirit, would be gathered again and would be numbered among the seed of Lehi. So, if we go back to 3 Nephi 16, in verse 13, but if the Gentiles will repent and return unto me, saith the Father, behold, they shall be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. Again, Christ is talking about those members of the church at the return of Joseph who would accept the doctrine of Christ, who would not only draw near unto Christ with their lips, but also with their hearts, and would seek after and receive and would act on the revelation about what was required of them to offer up a broken heart and contrite spirit. Then they would receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and would be numbered among the house of Israel, because one of the things that happens with that ordinance is the Gentile blood is burned out of us and we become blood Israel. So back in 1 Nephi 14, verse 2, and harden not their hearts against the Lamb of God. They shall be numbered among the seed of thy father. Again, speaking of the Gentiles or members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Yea, they shall be numbered among the house of Israel, and they shall be a blessed people upon the promised land forever. And they shall no more be brought down into captivity, and the house of Israel shall no more be confounded. Because the Gentiles have been brought down into captivity with the removal of the doctrine of Christ from the mainstream teaching of the church. And going back to 3 Nephi 16, the end of verse 10. And shall reject the fullness of my gospel. Behold, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. And then will I remember my covenant, which I have made unto my people, O house of Israel. And I will bring my gospel unto them. As we just talked about, This started to be fulfilled during Joseph Smith's first ministry, when the 12 apostles were sent on missions to Europe. And I will show unto thee, O house of Israel, that the Gentiles shall not have power over you, but I will remember my covenant unto you, O house of Israel, and ye shall come unto the knowledge of the fullness of my gospel. And so this begins to happen during Joseph Smith's first ministry, but again, it gets cut short. And it resumes with the work of the Father commencing, with a marvelous work and a wonder, with the return of the end-time servant. And once he gathers out the strength of the Lord's house among the Latter-day Saints, then those end-time missions commence, where again the fullness of the gospel is taken to the house of Israel, and the gathering out of the remnant of Jacob begins. And verse 13 again. But if the Gentiles will repent and return unto me, or if the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints will repent and return, they shall be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. Now let's go to Second Nephi 28:32. Again, seeing our day, Nephi prophesies about the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Let's actually start in verses 21 and 24. And others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. And verse 24, therefore woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. And 25, woe be unto him that crieth, all is well. And in verse 26, we see the stumbling block of the Gentiles, or of the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Yea, woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of men, denieth the power of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yea, woe be unto him that saith, we have received and we need no more. And then in verse 32, woe be unto the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Gentiles, saith the Lord God of hosts, for notwithstanding I shall lengthen out mine arm unto them from day to day, they will deny me. Nevertheless, I will be merciful unto them, saith the Lord God, if they will repent and come unto me. So again, Christ is talking about the members of the church. If they repent and come unto me, he will receive them. For mine arm is lengthened out all the day long. And this is Isaiah imagery. The arm of the Lord being lengthened out unto his people is the return of the end time servant, saith the Lord God of hosts. And now if we go to 1 Nephi 14, and verses 3 through 17. And that great pit which hath been digged for them, or for the saints of God, for the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who will repent and return and receive the fullness when it is made available unto them. By the great and abominable church, which was founded by the devil and his children, that he might lead away the souls of men down to hell. Yea, that great pit which he hath been digged for the destruction of men shall be filled by those who digged it, unto their utter destruction, saith the Lamb of God, not to the destruction of the soul, save it be the casting of it into that hell which hath no end. For behold, this is according to the captivity of the devil, and also according to the justice of God upon all those who will work wickedness and abominations before him. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me, Nephi, saying, thou hast beheld that if the Gentiles repent, or if the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints repent, and Book of Mormon prophets tell us exactly what that means. It is not only to repent of our sins, but also of our hard hearts, and to offer again a broken heart and contrite spirit and receive by revelation the terms of that sacrifice, that we might receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And for those members, it says in verse 5, it shall be well with them. And thou also knowest concerning the covenants of the Lord unto the house of Israel. And thou also hast heard that whoso repenteth not must perish. Therefore, woe be unto the Gentiles, or members of the LDS Church, if it so be that they harden their hearts against the Lamb of God, when the fullness is again restored to them. For the time cometh, saith the Lamb of God, that I will work a great and a marvelous work among the children of men. And this great and marvelous work among the children of men is the gathering of Israel for the second time under the direction of Joseph Smith. A work which shall be everlasting, either on the one hand or on the other. Either to the convincing of them unto peace and life eternal, or unto the deliverance of them to the hardness of their hearts and the blindness of their minds, unto their being brought down into captivity and also unto destruction, both temporally and spiritually, according to the captivity of the devil, which I have spoken. So again, talking about the Latter-day Saints, when the fullness would again be preached among them, the fullness would either result in a softening of the heart or a hardening of the heart. A softening of the heart unto deliverance, or hardening of the heart unto destruction. And this is the parable of the wheat and the tares among the Latter-day Saints. And verse 8, and it came to pass that when the angel had spoken these words, he said unto me, rememberest thou the covenants of the Father unto the house of Israel? I said unto him, yea. And it came to pass that he said unto me, look, and I beheld that the great and abominable church, which is the mother of abominations, whose founder is the devil. And he said unto me, behold, there are save two churches only. The one is the church of the Lamb of God, and the other is the church of the devil. Wherefore, whoso belongeth not unto the church of the Lamb of God belongeth to the great church, which is the mother of abominations, and she is the whore of all the earth. And it came to pass that I looked, and I beheld the whore of all the earth, and she sat upon many waters. And she had dominion over all the earth among all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people. And it came to pass that I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its numbers were few. Now this beholding of the church of the Lamb of God is the those who receive the doctrine of Christ during the return of the end time servants ministry. And their numbers were few because of the wickedness and abominations of the whore who sat upon many waters. Nevertheless, I beheld that the church of the Lamb, who were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth, and their dominions upon the face of the earth were small because of the wickedness of the great whore whom I saw. And it came to pass that I beheld that the great mother of abominations did gather together the multitudes upon the face of all the earth among all the nations of the Gentiles, to fight against the Lamb of God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb, and upon the covenant people of the Lord who were scattered upon all the face of the earth, and they were armed with righteousness and with power of God in great glory. Now this has direct reference to before the second coming of Jesus Christ, prophesied by Isaiah, that the king of Assyria, king of Babylon, would bring the whole world into bondage, including the saints of God. But the saints of God would qualify for deliverance from extreme bondage. And verse 15, and it came to pass that I beheld that the wrath of God was poured out upon that great and abominable church, insomuch that there were wars and rumors of wars among all nations, kindreds, and kindreds of the earth. And as there began to be wars and rumors of wars among all the nations which belong to the mother of abominations, the angel spake unto me, saying, behold, the wrath of God is upon the mother of harlots, and behold, thou seest all these things. And when the day cometh that the wrath of God is poured out upon the mother of harlots, which is the great and abominable church of all the earth, whose founder is the devil, then at that day, the work of the Father shall commence. And remember, the work of the Father commencing is the marvelous work and a wonder. It commences at the time of the end time Exodus. Shall commence in preparing the way for the fulfilling of his covenants, which he hath made unto the people who are of the house of Israel. Well, what are the covenants that the Father hath made to his people who are of the house of Israel? That they will receive the fullness of the gospel and they will be gathered to a land of inheritance. That they will be led out on an end time exodus and will come to either new or old Jerusalems, which will have become holy cities. And now, if we go to DNC 101, in the parable of redemption of Zion, we have a prophecy of the beginning of what we've just been reading about, the beginning of the marvelous work and a wonder. And in verse 55, the Lord of the vineyard said unto one of his servants, and who is the servant? Well, it's the return of the end time servant, as revealed, his identity is revealed in DNC 103, 21 and 22. Verily, verily, I say unto you that my servant Joseph Smith Jr. is the man to whom I liken the servant, to whom the Lord of the vineyard spake in the parable which I've given unto you. Therefore, let my servant Joseph Smith Jr. say unto the strength of my house, my young men, they that are of middle age, gather yourselves together upon the land of Zion, upon the land which I have bought with money that has been consecrated unto me. And back in DNC 101, verse 55, the Lord of the vineyard said unto one of his servants who has just been identified, as we read in DNC 103, go and gather together the residue of my servants and take all the strength of my house, which are my warriors, my young men, and they that are of middle age also among all my servants, who are the strength of my house, save only those whom I've appointed to tarry. Well, who are the strength of the Lord's house? Well, it's precisely those that Nephi has been prophesying of in 1 Nephi 14 and Christ in 3 Nephi 16, who will receive the fullness of the gospel when it is again declared unto them and the heavens are opened. And will comprise the numbers who begin the end time exodus, which will go on to accomplish the work of gathering out of Israel from the four quarters of the earth. Verse 56, and go ye straightway unto the land of my vineyard, redeem my vineyard, for it is mine, I have bought it with money. Or in other words, I have engraven my people and my holy land, which is to be New Jerusalem, and old Jerusalem when it becomes a holy city. I have engraven then them upon the palms of my hands and my feet and my wrists, and I have played their ransom and their sanctification with my own blood. Or I have bought it with money. Therefore, get ye straightway into the land, unto my land. Break down the walls of mine enemies, throw down their tower and scatter their watchmen. Now, this is what we've just been reading about in 1 Nephi chapter 14. That the wrath of God comes upon the mother of harlots. And when the day cometh in 1 Nephi 14, 17, that the wrath of God is poured out upon the mother of harlots, which is the great and abominable church of all the earth, whose founder is the devil, then at that day the work of the Father shall commence in preparing the way for the fulfilling of his covenants, which he hath made to his people who are of the house of Israel. So we're talking about the same events, the same times, in both 1 Nephi 14 and DNC 101. Therefore, get ye straightway into my land, break down the walls of mine enemies, throw down their tower and scatter their watchmen. So who is responsible for the destruction of the mother of harlots, the great and abominable church? Well, it's Joseph Smith and those who labor with him. And inasmuch, DNC 101:58, as they gather together against you, avenge me of mine enemies, that by and by I may come with the residue of my house and possess the land. And if we continue to DNC 101:64, that the work of the gathering together of my saints may continue because it got cut short the first time, that I may build them up unto my name upon holy places, for the time of harvest is come, and my word must needs be fulfilled. And we read about the separation of the wheat and the tares from among the Gentiles in Nephi, that the tares would be destroyed and that the wheat would be gathered and would become Israel. Verse 65, therefore I must gather together my people according to the parable of the wheat and the tares, that the wheat may be secured in the garners to possess eternal life and to be crowned with celestial glory, when I shall come in the kingdom of my Father to reward every man according as his work shall be, while the tares shall be bound in bundles, their bands made strong, that they may be burned with unquenchable fire. Now, back to 1 Nephi, this time to chapter 15, verses 12 through 20. Behold, I say unto you that the house of Israel was compared unto an olive tree by the Spirit of the Lord, which was in our father. And behold, are we not broken off from the house of Israel? And are we not a branch of the house of Israel? And now the thing which our father meaneth concerning the grafting in of the natural branches through the fullness of the Gentiles. The fullness of the time of the Gentiles is that time when Joseph Smith would return, open again the heavens, and the doctrine of Christ would again be declared. And in preparation for his return on the scene to finish the gathering out of the strength of the Lord's house, meaning the members of the church who would receive the new and everlasting covenant, seek after and receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Through the fullness of the Gentiles is that in the latter days when our seed shall have dwindled in unbelief, yea, for the space of many years and many generations after the Messiah shall be manifest in body unto the children of men, then shall the fullness of the gospel of the Messiah come unto the Gentiles. And from the Gentiles unto the remnant of our seed. Now, this did not happen during Joseph Smith's first ministry, but it does happen during his second. Because the very first missionary effort, once the Exodus begins, is to the Lamanites, or to the remnant of Lehi's seed, to separate the wheat and the tares from among Lehi's seed, that the wheat may join the end time Exodus, and the tares, just like will have happened among the Latter-day Saints, will be destroyed. Verse 14 in 1 Nephi 15. And at that day shall the remnant of our seed know that they are of the house of Israel, and that they are a covenant people of the Lord. And then shall they know and come to the knowledge of their forefathers, and also to a knowledge of the gospel of their Redeemer, which was ministered unto their fathers by him. Wherefore they shall come to a knowledge of their Redeemer and the very points of his doctrine, which is the doctrine of Christ. Because it will be taught to them by the power and authority of the Holy Ghost, by those who are the strength of the Lord's house who go out on the end time Exodus. That they may know how to come unto him and be saved. So most people who are Christian come unto Christ based on their own understanding and their own terms. And this is not a surprise, because the plain and precious parts of the gospel about how Christ would instruct them to come unto him have been removed from the Old and New Testament and from the mainstream teaching of the Latter-day Church. But it's contained in the Book of Mormon, and in the records which will be yet brought forth by the end time servant when he brings the record of the 12 apostles or the completion of the translation of the New Testament, his translation of the brass plates, the Old Testament, which will restore again the doctrine of Christ to the prophecies of old and other records of Scripture. that they may know how to come unto him. Because it's not enough just to come unto Christ on our own terms or through our own understanding. We have to come unto him based on his instruction. And his instruction of how we come unto him, he sets forth in 3 Nephi chapter 9. So if we go to 3 Nephi chapter 9, verse 17, and as many as have received me, so receiving Christ and coming unto him mean the exact same thing. To them have I been given to become the sons of God. And he's about to tell us exactly how to come unto him or how to receive him. And verse 20, and ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost. That's how the Gentiles are to repent and return. That's how all of Israel is to repent and return and come unto him. So back in 1 Nephi 15, that Israel, at the end of verse 14, may know how to come unto him and be saved. For the process is exactly the same with us as with them. And verse 15, and then at that day will they not rejoice and give praise unto their everlasting God, their rock and their salvation. Yet that day will they not receive the strength and nourishment from the true vine, which is the restoration of the doctrine of Christ, of the terrestrial order of the gospel. Yea, will they not come unto the true fold of God? Behold, I say unto you, yea, they shall be remembered again among the house of Israel. They shall be grafted in, being a natural branch of the olive tree into the true olive tree. And this is what our Father meaneth, and he meaneth that it will not come to pass until after they are scattered by the Gentiles, Gentile nation. And he meaneth that it shall come by way of the Gentiles, or that the restoration of the remnant of the seed of Lehi to the covenants that God made with them will come through the restoration of the gospel first through the Gentiles when it is restored to them through the second ministry of the end time servant, and then shall be brought to the Lamanites, that the Lord may show his power unto the Gentiles for the very cause that he shall be rejected by the Jews or of the house of Israel. Wherefore our Father hath not spoken of our seed alone, but also of all the house of Israel. And on the end time exodus, not only will the fullness of the gospel be taken to the remnant of the seed of Lehi, but to all the house of Israel who qualifies for deliverance from destruction. Pointing to the covenant which should be fulfilled in the latter days, which covenant the Lord made to our father Abraham, saying that in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, spake much unto them concerning these things. Yea, spake unto them concerning the restoration of the Jews in the latter days. And I did rehearse unto them the words of Isaiah, who spoke concerning the restoration of the Jews or of the house of Israel. And after they restored, they should no more be confounded, neither should they be scattered again. And it came to pass that I did speak many words unto my brethren, that they were pacified and did humble themselves before the Lord, all which happens during the second ministry of the end time servant. And in 1 Nephi 13, verse 37. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day. Well, who are they who seek to bring forth Christ's Zion at that day? Well, let's turn again to DNC 101. Verse 55, the Lord of the vineyard said unto one of his servants, go and gather together the residue of my servants. So the return of the end time servant and the servants are those that the Lord called the first laborers in the last kingdom in DNC 88. They all return and commence the work of gathering. Back in 1 Nephi 13, verse 37. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day. And not only the end time servant and those who return with him as the first laborers in the last kingdom, but all of those who will join with them and assist in the work of the gathering out of the strength of the Lord's house and in the gathering of Israel. For they shall have the gift and power of the Holy Ghost. Well, what is the qualification to become one of these laborers? It's to enter into the new covenant, to do whatever is required, to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. Whoso shall publish peace, yea, tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. And the reason that it says whoever or whoso shall publish peace, it means that this work is not only the work of Joseph and the first laborers in the last kingdom, but all of those who will also join with them to publish and declare the doctrine of Christ to the ends of the earth. And now, if we continue our cross-reference in DNC 103, verse 15, behold, I say unto you, the redemption of Zion must needs come by power. Therefore, I will raise up unto my people a man who shall lead them like as Moses led the children of Israel. For ye are the children of Israel and the seed of Abraham, and ye must needs be led out of bondage by power and with a stretched out arm. So the Gentiles or the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who will hearken unto the doctrine of Christ and to the words of the end time servants are in bondage and must be needs led out of bondage by the end time servant on an end time exodus, just like Moses led the children of Israel. And verse 18, as your fathers were led out at the first, even so shall the redemption of Zion be. Now let's cross-reference 2 Nephi 3. And 2 Nephi 3, verses 4 to 24, is Lehi telling his son Joseph about the prophecies contained in the brass plates about the words of God to Joseph in Egypt about his posterity, and how his posterity would be saved twice. First by Moses, who would leave not only his posterity, but all the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then in the last days, one would be raised up who would be like unto Moses, who would lead his people out of bondage and also all the house... also all the house of Israel. So starting in verse 4 of 2 Nephi, verse 3. For behold, thou art the fruit of my loins, and I am a descendant of Joseph, who was carried captive unto Egypt. And great were the covenants of the Lord which he made unto Joseph. Wherefore Joseph truly saw our day. This is Lehi speaking to his son Joseph about Joseph in Egypt. And he obtained a promise of the Lord that our fruit, that out of the fruit of his loins, the Lord would raise up a righteous branch unto the house of Israel, not the Messiah, but a branch which was to be broken off, nevertheless to be remembered in the covenants of the Lord, that the Messiah should be made manifest unto them in the latter days, in the spirit of power unto the bringing of them out of darkness into light, yea, out of hidden darkness and out of captivity unto freedom. For Joseph truly testified, saying, a seer will the Lord my God raise up, who shall be a choice seer unto the fruit of my loins. Now, this is Joseph in Egypt recounting the revelation that God gave to Joseph in Egypt about this choice seer who would be raised up unto the fruit of his loins. Yea, Joseph truly said, thus saith the Lord unto me, a choice seer will I raise up out of the fruit of thy loins. So not only is this choice seer raised up unto his posterity, but also from his posterity. And he shall be esteemed highly among the fruit of thy loins. And unto him will I give a commandment that he shall do a work for the fruit of thy loins, his brethren, which shall be of great worth unto them, even to the bringing of them to the knowledge of the covenants which I have made with thy fathers. All right, again, talking about the Lord's end time servant, Joseph Smith Jr. And I will give unto him a commandment that he shall do no other work save the work which I shall command him. And I will make him great in mine eyes, for he shall do my work. And he shall be great like unto Moses. Now, you know, we focus on the second ministry of the end time servant. And he shall be great like unto Moses. And we just read in D&C 103 that the Lord's end time servant would lead a latter day exodus, just as Moses led an exodus out of Egypt. That I would raise up unto you to deliver my people, O house of Israel. Not only the descendants of Ephraim and the Gentiles among Latter-day Saints, but all the house of Israel. And Moses will I raise up unto deliver my people out of the land of Egypt. But a seer will I raise up out of the fruit of thy loins. And unto him will I give power to bring forth my word unto the seed of my loins. And not to the bringing forth of my word only, saith the Lord, but unto the convincing them of my word, which shall have already gone forth among them. So the end time servant in his first ministry translates the Book of Mormon by the power and authority of God, and it sent forth to the four corners of the earth. And in his second ministry, he goes forth and those servants under his direction unto the convincing of the house of Israel of the words which have already gone forth among them during his first ministry. Or up until the time that he shall return, and his mission will now be to the convincing them of the words which shall have already gone forth among them, which started during Joseph Smith's first ministry, but extends until our day. Verse 12, wherefore the fruit of thy loins shall write, the fruit of the loins of Joseph in Egypt, and the fruit of the loins of Judah shall write, and that which shall be written by the fruit of thy loins shall, which we're talking about the Book of Mormon, which is one of the grandsons or one of the sons of Joseph Manasseh, and also that which was brought forth in Doctrine and Covenants, which is from the loins of Ephraim. Which shall be written by the loins of Judah and shall grow together unto the confounding of false doctrine. Well, how do they grow together? Well, they grow together when the end time servant returns. And he returns with the full translation of the Old Testament via the brass plates, the full translation of the New Testament, and they're joined together with the Book of Mormon and the Latter-day prophecies and the Doctrine and Covenants and other scripture which will be brought forth. And those who will preach the fullness of the gospel will take this new scripture and it will prove the truth of the first. And bring them to the knowledge of their fathers in the latter days, and also to the knowledge of my covenant, saith the Lord. And out of weakness shall be made strong in that day, when my work shall commence among all my people, unto the restoring thee, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. This commencement takes place during Joseph's second ministry. And thus prophesied Joseph, saying, behold, that seer will the Lord bless, and they that seek to destroy him shall be confounded. Well, those that sought to destroy him were not confounded during his first ministry, but they will be during his second. For this promise which I have obtained of the Lord of the fruit of my loins shall be fulfilled. Behold, I am sure of the fulfilling of this promise. And his name shall be called after me, and it shall be called after the name of his father, which is Joseph. And he shall be like unto me for the thing which the Lord shall bring forth by his hand. By the power of the Lord shall bring my people unto salvation, meaning the restoration of the doctrine of Christ, the knowledge of the new covenant of broken heart and contrite spirit, baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and deliverance. And thus prophesied Joseph, I am sure of this thing, even as I am sure of the promise of Moses. For the Lord hath said unto me, I will preserve thy seed forever. And the Lord hath said, I will raise up a Moses, and I will give power unto him in a rod, and I will give judgment unto him in writing. Yet I will not loose his tongue, that he shall speak much, for I will not make him mighty in speaking, but I will write unto him my law by my finger of my own hand, and I will make a spokesman for him. And the Lord said unto me also. So now we have just transitioned to the Lord speaking unto Lehi. I will raise up unto the fruit of thy loins. So there have been a few words that have been left out. So I will raise up unto the fruit of thy loins a man. And this man is Mormon, who shall write and abridge the record of thy people. And for Moroni, I will raise up a spokesman. And that spokesman is Joseph Smith. And I will make for him a spokesman. And I, behold, I will give unto him that he shall write the writing of the fruit of thy loins unto the fruit of thy loins, and the spokesman of thy loins shall declare it. And the words which he shall write shall be the words which are expedient in my wisdom should go forth unto the fruit of thy loins. And it shall be as if the fruit of thy loins had cried unto them from the dust, for I know their faith. And they shall cry unto the dust, or from the dust, even repentance unto their brethren, even after many generations have gone by them. And it shall come to pass that their cry shall go, even according to the simpleness of their words. Because of their faith, their word shall proceed forth out of my mouth unto their brethren, who are the fruit of thy loins. And the weakness of their words will I make strong in their faith, unto the remembering of the covenant which I made unto thy fathers. And now behold, my son Joseph, after this manner did my father of old prophesy. Wherefore, because of this covenant, thou art blessed, for thy seed shall not be destroyed, for they shall hearken unto the words of the book when the fullness of the gospel is restored to the Gentiles and then taken unto Lehi's seed. Now, the prophecy that Lehi was quoting from was from the brass plates. And we find this prophecy and a second witness in JST Genesis 50. And while there are many who claim that this prophecy given by Lehi as he was recounting the prophecy to Joseph in Egypt was about the end time servant being a Lamanite prophet, while there is no doubt there will be prophets among them, that's not who this prophecy was talking about. This prophecy was talking about the Lord's end time Davidic servant, which with this second record is identified clearly as Joseph Smith Jr. So if we start in GST Genesis 50, verse 24, and Joseph said unto his brethren, Joseph in Egypt, I die and go unto my fathers, and I go down to my grave with joy. The God of my father Jacob be with you to deliver you out of afflictions in the day of your bondage. For the Lord hath visited me, and I have obtained a promise of the Lord. And out of the fruit of my loins, the Lord God will raise up a righteous branch out of my loins. And unto thee, whom my father Jacob hath named Israel, a prophet, not the Messiah who was called Shiloh, and this prophet shall deliver my people out of Egypt in the days of my bondage. And it shall come to pass that they shall be scattered again, and a branch shall be broken off. So after the house of Israel is delivered out of Egypt, they would be scattered again. And we see this in both the northern and southern kingdoms, the kingdom of Ephraim and the kingdom of Judah. And they shall be carried into a far country. Nevertheless, they shall be remembered in the covenants of the Lord when the Messiah cometh, for he shall be made manifest unto them in the latter days, in the spirit of power, and shall bring them out of darkness into light, and out of hidden darkness, and out of captivity unto freedom. Well, when does this happen? This happens in two parts, both the Lord preserved the land of North America as a land of freedom and liberty for the restoration of the gospel and the beginning of the gathering of Israel during Joseph Smith's first ministry. And then again, during his second ministry, when New Jerusalem would be established and when Old Jerusalem would begin, would become again a holy city, and the descendants of Joseph, i.e. Ephraim, having the responsibility, at least those descendants who would awake and arise when the doctrine of Christ was declared to them, and they would become the strength of the Lord's house to gather again all of Israel for the last time. Verse 27. JST Genesis 50. Thus saith the Lord God of my fathers unto me, a choice seer will I raise up out of the fruit of thy loins, and he shall be esteemed highly among the fruit of thy loins. And unto him will I give commandment that he shall do a work for the fruit of thy loins, his brethren. So in other words, Joseph Smith would restore the fullness of the gospel and would gather the descendants of Joseph in Egypt, i.e. Ephraim, so that they could in turn gather Israel from the four corners of the earth. Verse 28, and he shall bring them to the knowledge of the covenants which I have made with thy fathers, and he shall do whatsoever work I shall command him, not only in bringing forth and convincing of the truth of the Book of Mormon, but also a restoration of Old and New Testament and other ancient records of Scripture. And verse 29, and I will make him great in mine eyes, for he shall do my work, and he shall be great like unto him whom I have said I would raise up unto you to deliver my people, O house of Israel, out of the land of Egypt. Again, we have this prophecy that this end time servant who would be from the loins of Joseph would lead an end time exodus just like Moses led an exodus out of Egypt. And he shall be great like unto him whom I have said I would raise up unto you to deliver my people, O house of Israel, out of the land of Egypt. For a seer will I raise up to deliver my people out of the land of Egypt, and he shall be called Moses. And by this name ye shall know that he is of thy house. For he shall be nursed by the king's daughter and shall be called her son. And again, a seer will I raise up out of the fruit of thy loins, and unto him will I give power to bring forth my word unto the seed of thy loins. Now we've made a transition from Moses to the end time servant. And not to the bringing forth my word only, saith the Lord, but unto the convincing them of my word, which shall have already gone forth among them in the last days. Well, it already has gone forth among them, because during Joseph Smith's first ministry, he translates the Book of Mormon. And it's been the legacy of him to the LDS Church to take the Book of Mormon to the four quarters of the earth. Verse 31, wherefore the fruit of thy loins shall write, and the fruit of the loins of Judah shall write, and that which shall be written by the fruit of thy loins, and also that which shall be written by the fruit of the loins of Judah shall grow together unto the confounding of false doctrines and laying down of contentions. Well, the false doctrines were introduced by the removing of the plain and precious parts of Old and New Testaments and the removal of the doctrine of Christ from the teaching of the Latter-day Church. The confounding of false doctrines and the laying down of contentions and establishing peace among the fruit of thy loins, and bringing them to a knowledge of their fathers in the latter days, and also to a knowledge of my covenant, saith the Lord. And out of weakness shall he, the end-time servant, be made strong in that day when my work shall go forth among all my people. Well, the work doesn't go forth among all of God's people until the marvelous work and a wonder, until the commencement of the end-time exodus, led by none other than Joseph Smith Jr., which shall restore them who are the house of Israel in the last days. And verse 33, and that seer will I bless, and they that seek to destroy him shall be confounded. Again, not in his first, but his second ministry. For this promise I give unto you, for I will remember you from generation to generation, and his name shall be called Joseph, and it shall be after the name of his father, and he shall be like unto you, for the thing which the Lord shall bring forth by his hand shall bring my people unto salvation, i.e. the doctrine of Christ. It will prepare them for the second coming of Jesus Christ, and not only bringing forth the doctrine of Christ, but again, opening the heavens that it might again be possible to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and enter into the rest of the Lord. And do we have scriptural pronouncement that the opening of the heavens must occur for a people to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost? Yes. If we go to D&C 84. Verse 19. And this greater priesthood administereth the gospel, this greater priesthood being the Melchizedek priesthood, or the first order of Melchizedek priesthood. It administereth the gospel, the terrestrial order of the gospel, by having the power to officiate in the terrestrial order, which Joseph Smith will have, and being able to perform the ordinance of baptism of water into the terrestrial order of the gospel, the baptism of fire and baptism of the Holy Ghost ordinances, and holdeth the key of the mysteries of the kingdom, even the key of the knowledge of God. Well, what is the key of the knowledge of God? Well, it's the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. For after a man or woman receives it, they then have access to that level of revelation in the heavens, or the key of the knowledge of God to teach them how to part the veil and enter into Christ's presence in his glory. And it's by exercising that key that they receive the key of the knowledge of God, which is coming into his presence in his glory, or entering into the rest of the Lord, which rest is the fullness of his glory. Therefore, in the ordinances thereof, the power of godliness is manifest. Well, what is the power of godliness being manifest unto men in the flesh? Well, it's none other than the ordinance of baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And do we have an evidence for that? Yes. One, it's the only conclusion that can be arrived at from the context of what we're reading. And if we go to Millennial Star, number 4, August 1843, under the title Gift of the Holy Ghost, we read, in the renewal of the covenant with the children of men, there are many subjects of great interest to the saints and of unspeakable value, but the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is received through the ordinance of baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, not confirmation, is the greatest gift that man could receive or deity bestow. The possession of this gift, which is the power of godliness. So the power of godliness is the reception of the baptism of fire, baptism of Holy Ghost, is what constitutes the special difference between the Church of the Living God, which is the terrestrial order of the gospel, which was removed from the saints in mid-1834, but is restored again with the return of the end-time servant. Between the Church of the Living God and the multitude of systems that have originated through the will of man. And if we go back to DNC 84, now verse 21. And without the ordinances thereof and the authority of the priesthood, or when there is not a man to be found upon the earth who has been ordained and sealed to the apostolic order of Melchizedek priesthood, the power of godliness or the ordinance of baptism of fire, baptism of Holy Ghost is not manifest unto men in the flesh. And therefore, for this gift to again be enjoyed and received, it required the end time servant to again return and open again the heavens. Second Nephi 3, verses 23 and 24. And there shall rise up one mighty among them who shall do much good. Again, this is the return of the end time servant, both in word and in deed, being an instrument in the hands of God with exceeding faith to work mighty wonders and do that which is great in the sight of God, unto the bringing to pass much restoration unto the house of Israel and unto the seed of thy brethren. And now blessed art thou, Joseph, behold, thou art little, wherefore hearken unto the words of thy brother Nephi, and it shall be done unto thee even according to the words which I have spoken. Remember the words of thy dying father. Amen. Now, if we cross-reference DNC 85. Verses 6 and 7. Yea, thus saith the still small voice, which whispereth through and pierceth all things. And oft times it maketh my bones to quake, while it maketh manifest, saying, and this is a revelation to Joseph Smith, and no wonder this revelation to him by the power of the Spirit as he read the prophecies of the return of the end time servant, the Spirit made unto known unto him that it was him. And so, of course, it made Joseph's bones to quake while it maketh manifest, saying, verse 7, and it shall come to pass that I, the Lord God, will send one mighty and strong. Well, what did we just read in 2 Nephi 3, verse 23? or 2 Nephi 3:24, and there shall rise up one mighty among them, or one mighty and strong. Back in D&C 85, verse 7, and it shall come to pass that I, the Lord God, will send one mighty and strong, holding the scepter of power in his hand, clothed with light for a covering, whose mouth shall utter words, eternal words, while his bowels shall be a fountain of truth, to set in order the house of God. Well, what is the house of God? Well, the house of God, as defined in D&C 101, is the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. To set in order the house of God. And one thing I would say about the parable of redemption of Zion in D&C 101, where, you know, the house of God is defined as the membership of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, in verse 43 of D&C 101, and now I will show unto you a parable that you may know my will concerning the redemption of Zion. Well, implicit in this verse, we have that first, Zion will be established during Joseph Smith's first ministry, if we were to read the entire parable. That it would fall, because do you have to redeem something that hasn't fallen or been ransomed? No. And that Zion would be redeemed. And how is it redeemed? Well, when one mighty and strong returns, holding the scepter of power in his hand, clothed with light for a covering. So back in D&C 85, verse 7. To set in order the house of God, or to redeem Zion, and to arrange by lot the inheritances of the saints whose names are found, and the names of their fathers and of their children enrolled in the book of the law of God. Well, we may have our names written in the book of the law of God, which qualifies us to go on the end time exodus. And if we remain true and faithful to and both our children and our fathers, whose names are also written in this book, also qualified to come forth in the millennial state. And if we now go to D&C 86, verses 1 through 11. Verily, thus saith the Lord unto you, my servants, concerning the parable of the wheat and the tares. And remember, we just read in D&C 101 that the redemption of Zion must continue, that the parable of the wheat and the tares might be fulfilled. And when is this given? It's given after the return of the end time servant to gather out the strength of the Lord's house. And the strength of the Lord's house are the wheat, and those who are not the strength of the Lord's house are the tares. Verse 2, behold, verily I say, the field was the world, and the apostles were the sowers of the seed. And after they have fallen asleep, the apostles, the great persecutor of the church, the apostate, the whore, even Babylon, that maketh all nations to drink of her cup, in whose hearts the enemy, even Satan, sitteth to reign. Behold, he soweth the tares, wherefore the tares choke the wheat and drive the church into the wilderness. Or the reason that Zion must be redeemed is because it's been sold and ransomed. And this happened during the days of Joseph and has continued even until today. But behold, in the last days, even now while the Lord is beginning to bring forth the word, and the blade is springing up and is yet tender, behold, verily I say unto you, the angels are crying unto the Lord day and night, and this is our generation, who are ready and waiting to be sent forth to reap down the fields. To reap down the fields means to destroy the tares, which did not happen during Joseph Smith's first ministry. It happens during his second. But the Lord said unto them, pluck not up the tares while the blade is yet tender, for verily your faith is weak, lest you destroy the wheat also. Therefore, let the wheat and the tares grow together This is talking about those in the church today. Until the harvest is fully ripe, or until the time of the Gentiles is to be fulfilled. Then you shall first gather out the wheat from among the tares, or as we read in D&C 101:55, that the servant and the servants would gather out the strength of the Lord's house. And after the gathering of the wheat, behold, and lo, the tares are bound in bundles, and the field remaineth to be burned. For ye are the lawful heirs according to the flesh, and have been hid from the world with Christ in God. Now this is talking about the wheat among the Latter-day Saints, or the strength of the house, the Lord's house among the Latter-day Saints, or those with the ears to hear and hearts to understand among the Latter-day Saints, that when the doctrine of Christ is declared in power and authority, they will receive it with gladness. Therefore, your life and the priesthood have remained and must needs remain through you and your lineage until the restoration of all things spoken by the mouths of all the holy prophets since the world began, you know, having an allusion to the return of Joseph Smith. Verse 11. Therefore, blessed are ye if ye continue in my goodness, a light unto the Gentiles, and through this priesthood, a savior unto my people Israel. Well, how is he a savior unto God's people Israel? Because he's in charge of gathering them before the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Lord hath said it. Amen. Now, if we go to D&C 90, verses 2 through 4. Therefore, thou art blessed from henceforth, talking about Joseph Smith Jr., that bear the keys of the kingdom given unto you, which kingdom is coming forth for the last time. Verily I say unto you, the keys of this kingdom shall never be taken from you while thou art in the world, neither in the world to come. Nevertheless, through you shall the oracles be given to another, yea, even unto the church. Well, what are the oracles? Well, in the 1828 edition of Webster Dictionary, it says, for oracles among Christians, oracles in the plural denotes the communications, revelations, or messages delivered by God to prophets. In this sense, it is rarely used in the singular, but we say the oracles of God, divine oracles, meaning the scriptures. So the scriptures of the restoration would be delivered to the church, both in Joseph's first and his second ministries. And that is where we will conclude this evening, and we will pick up again next week by cross-referencing Isaiah 11 and finishing up 3 Nephi 16 and all of the associated cross-references. Again, 3 Nephi 16 is Christ's end-time prophecy, where he teaches about the restoration of the gospel through Joseph Smith's first ministry, the end-time apostasy, the restoration of the fullness of the gospel with the ushering in of the time of the fullness of the Gentiles, and through it, the gathering of Israel in preparation for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.